I feel like probably the two biggest aspects that will really set you apart on succeeding with money, whether you make what you feel like is a little bit of money, a lot of money, somewhere in between, right, is going to be the fact that you're going to have to step back and start asking yourself hard questions, start having some self-awareness, right, around what is your mindset, what does it look like, how do I shift it, and then also, like I said, setting up some intentionality of where is it that you even want to be.
Most people will say, I want to be financially free, and they never really sit down and define that, and they really don't write out what does that even mean. A common definition of financial freedom is the ability to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whomever you want. And so that's great. That's a fantastic definition. However, have you ever sat down and said, what would I do? And who would I do it with?
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we have Paris on with us. He is an amazing resource, has done all kinds of things in the financial space, a little bit similar to me. Let's see, we've got mortgage, financial planning, financial coaching, life insurance, all kinds of stuff that he has dabbled and been the expert in over the course of his career. So welcome, Paris. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're excited to be on the show today and what you want to kind of talk about.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jax. First of all, just thanks for letting me on and sharing, giving me an opportunity to share something that I'm passionate about.
For sure.
You know, they say today the leading cause of stress in the world is money. And another leading cause of a big problem in the world, in my opinion, is divorce. And they say money is a cause of that. Absolutely. I absolutely want to help correct that. I want to move the needle quite a bit if I can and help people understand how money really works. And my career started years ago, actually. It was kind of funny. I was working in a corporate America and I qualified for the 401k. And back in those days, I didn't even know how to spell 401k, let alone like what even is this thing, right?
For sure.
All I knew about money was that it was green and I wanted more of it. And so I was like, okay. I asked some of my coworkers as I qualified for the 401k, I said, hey, what did you do? What do you do? How should I do this? To me, it was an important decision. Like, who am I supposed to marry? Like, what house am I supposed to buy? Like,
for sure.
My retirement. They always tell you the earlier you start, the better. And so I was like, I better start doing this right. I want to do it right as soon as possible. None of my coworkers had any clue. You know, with all due respect, they were like, flip a coin, put it all in the company stock, just weird stuff. And I was like, I'm going to learn. I'm going to have to DIY this. You know?
For sure.
So I started reading books. As I shared with you before the show, Jax, I'm a voracious reader. I still continue that to this day. I read probably, I don't know, maybe a dozen books in like 2 or 3 months. And I just cruised through these books. And I finally felt confident what I should do with my money. And I made the choices. And then a coworker comes to me and says, Paris, I see you reading all these books. I really don't know what I'm doing. Would you mind helping me make the right choice? And I said, well, I'm not a professional. I just read a couple of books. I barely know what I'm doing myself. I just learned how to spell 401k. You know, I know a little bit more about money than I did before, you know, compound interest and all kinds of fun investing stuff. And I decided, all right, I'll help you. So I shared with her what I had done. Now, what was interesting is she was quite a bit older than me. And I figured, you know, with the experience in life, she'd probably worked at other places. She should know some of the basics.
For sure.
Or the stuff that I learned. And she had no idea about some of the stuff. And I was like, you mean you didn't? Like, wow, I thought she would know. And she didn't. And she said, Paris, you have a gift. And I said, really? She says, yeah, I finally understand what to do. Like, no one's been able to explain this to me the way that you have. You have a gift to take complicated things and make them super simple and easy to understand.
I love that.
I've been told that over my lifetime for years. In fact, one of the funny things I get told all the time was, why don't they teach this in school? Well, you know, I'm kind of grateful they aren't teaching it in school because I wouldn't have a job, you know, so to speak, or a career, my business. But at the same time, I really wish they would teach it in school because that would, sure, then I could build on that. Like, I could take what you learned in school and I could build on that. So I've created some fun courses, you know, talking about that and how that works out. But that's basically how I got started in the industry. And that was in 2001. So I've been doing this for almost 25 years now. With this November will be 24 years that I'll be licensed. I was a licensed financial advisor. So after that, you know, my coworker said, you should do this for a living because you're really good at it. And I decided, you know, let me go to the local college and I'll look around and see what it takes. I had some friends that were CPAs, CFPs, and I kind of interviewed them and said, hey, what would you do differently if you had the chance to do it over? And while I was in the pursuit that I was transferring to the university, and they said that I couldn't enroll because the way it worked out, my schedule didn't allow me to enroll first. So I had a little bit of time. And in that time, and this is totally divine to me, like God sent this, did this to me because he knew I needed to be in this industry. He sent a recruiter for a financial advisory firm, and I met him, and he says, hey, Paris, let me share with you what we do and how we do it. And I'm like, yes, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I'm going to school for it. And then he said something else that changed my life. He said, Paris, you can go to school and you can learn and then earn, or you can come work with us and you can earn while you learn.
For sure.
And I was like, I was, you know, as a young father, I was young married, you know, I was like, I would rather earn while I learn.
For sure.
And what was cool is they let me do it part-time so I could keep my job and I could do this. I could work with them part-time. And so that's how I launched my career about 24 years ago in the financial service of financial advice. I worked for one of the largest financial advisory firms in the world, Transamerica Financial Advisors. And I stopped doing that around 2015 so that I could do more education and more coaching. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Well, yeah, and I do agree with you that we should be teaching it in school, but we're not. Mm-hmm. I actually help mentor some high school students a little bit about money and understanding and education and things like that. So hopefully
That's at some point
we'll at least have a little bit more of a basis. I think you'll still have a job regardless, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But yes, and you and I are both on the same page, and this is kind of, I think, what we're going to go down a little bit of the rabbit hole with on money today, because, man, you and I probably could talk for about the next 40 years about money and the importance of it and all the details. But I think where a lot of people get tripped up is a lot about mindset. Because first of all, I will say that money actually is not real. It is literally a made up thing. And so, and I talk about that a lot because people get so wrapped around the axle. They put so much of their self-identity, how it is affecting their relationships, rather, you know, whether it be their spouse, their significant other, their, you know, their parents, you know, siblings, whatever that looks like, right? Think about how many times mom or dad have passed and now there's a little bit of money and people are fighting over it. I mean, it kind of seems ridiculous if you strip it all back, because literally it is actually a made up thing. So we have basically tied all of our identities and all these things to this made up thing, which in my mind is back to the mindset, right? Of like how we even get there to begin with, and why, if we're not fixing that, it doesn't matter how hard we try, how much money we make, how much we earn, we're never going to be successful or feel successful in a way that is really going to resonate and allow us to live our life on our own terms, which is literally the whole premise of why I created the podcast to begin with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I totally agree. You know, there's one of my sayings is mindset changes everything. And I believe that's true. And one of the things that I think is really true about that is we grow up and we see things modeled. Like you said, your parents, your significant other, we see things modeled. And then when we get married, we bring all of that history of our own and all of the history of our spouse. And we're trying to coordinate that together. It's almost like trying to have two galaxies merge without having some kind of planetary, combustion, So
for sure.
It's pretty wild, that how much mindset really goes into our belief that we can actually, one, make the money that we need to make. And then two, believe that we can actually be wealthier than we are, have the ability to manage the money. So that's a great point.
Well, and let's be real. The other problem at least in my opinion, is that we have a lot of people that are preying on what they know our mindsets are around money, right? Like the scarcity, the kind of FOMO, the YOLO kind of concepts, right? And so when, these advertisers are playing on that emotion and that mindset piece that is existing behind the scenes, and that's how they're getting you to then overspend or make decisions that maybe aren't really truly aligned with where you actually want to be, which is the other reason that I talk a lot about on the podcast about intention. And that if you don't have an idea of where you want to be, where you want to go, what you're looking to do, you're never going to be able to shift not only just the mindset, but be able to resist some of these things that are going to constantly bombarding you and be coming at you, because you're not going to have an idea of exactly what it is. Like to your point, when you ask all these people about the 401k, like, how does this work? What should I be doing? And they all were like, I don't know. Just do this, whatever. And instead of stepping back and creating some intention and saying, okay, so I have this opportunity with the 401k, here it is. I'm getting this, basically free money, and then also money that I'm donating to it. How do I make it do its highest and best use? How do I make it grow, do all the things that I need to do? I don't necessarily maybe have the money to help have somebody have the services, right, to help me make these decisions. So what is something that is low cost that I can figure out? Well, you figured it out, right? Book, you read, you figured out what that looked like, and you started making intentional decisions to march yourself down that path. You're not going to do that unless you have an idea of like, okay, where is it that I want to even go?
Yeah. If you're not intentional with your money, you will give it to people who are.
Correct.
And so I agree 100%. That's legit. And one of the things too, that not a lot of people realize, is that marketing departments of these corporations, they're highly trained, I mean, some of them PhD level human psychology, human behavioralists that know exactly how to position and say the right exact word that triggers in your mind subconsciously, mostly, oh, wow, I need that. I better buy it. If I don't have it, I'm going to be, like you said, FOMO. If I don't have that, and so they are trained, highly trained professionals to separate us from our money to buy their widget, gadget, or service. And so we don't have any defense. I teasingly call, sometimes if somebody's a Harry Potter fan, I'll say, do you have a defense against these dark arts? That's a little Harry Potter reference. Sorry.
I'm a Potterhead, so I like it. My girls are always like, they're big time Potter people. But yes, so I agree. It's just, I feel like probably the two biggest aspects that will really set you apart on succeeding with money, whether you make what you feel like is a little bit of money, a lot of money, somewhere in between, right, is going to be the fact that you're going to have to step back and start asking yourself hard questions, start having some self-awareness, right, around what is your mindset, what does it look like, how do I shift it, and then also, like I said, setting up some intentionality of where is it that you even want to be, and not what society told you or your parents told you or whatever, but what do you, and if you have a spouse or significant other, what does that look like for y'all? Where do you want to go? Because I say, and I use this example all the time, my brother and I, we were raised in the exact same household, right? Same parents, same mm-hmm. everything. And we have very different trajectories of where we want to go with life. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with what my brother wants to do and what he is positioning himself for his life. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with what I'm looking to do and positioning myself, right? They're mm-hmm. just different paths. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm. Most people will say, I want to be financially free. And they never really sit down and define that. And they really don't write out, what does that even mean? A common definition of financial freedom is the ability to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whomever you want. And so that's great. That's a fantastic definition. However, have you ever sat down and said, what would I do? And who would I do it with? And sure. when would I do it? And write it down, especially as a couple. If you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have a partner for the rest of your life, you've got to communicate. Communication is the critical thing here. And that's something that my wife and I have learned over the years, is that when we communicate, we do way better than when we're not. And when we're finding that we're struggling somehow, we realize, you know what, we probably haven't been communicating as clearly as we ought to. And so when you have a clearly defined goal, so I have a program, I call it my financial GPS, and it's my game planning session, but I actually named it my game planning session and didn't even realize that it was GPS. And I was like, you know what? That's a cool, that was probably God like saying, hey, let's do this for you. So it's easier. And
that.
So I was like, you know what? Everybody knows what a GPS is on their phone.
For sure.
And for example, if you need to go somewhere today and you haven't been there before, or maybe you have, but you're not as, you know, you're not quite dialed it into your memory, you're going to type in your destination on your GPS. Well, that's at an exact specific address. You can't just tell GPS, I want to go to my friend's house. Like the GPS is like, well, where's that? You know, you got to have an actual address. And then once you have an address that you put in, the GPS system, thankfully, already knows where you are. But you basically, you know, get an opportunity to say, well, where are you starting? You know, what's your starting point? You can put in there my, you know, where I am right now, my current location. I could put in, you know, start from this other area where I know how to get to. But more often than not, you're going to put in current location. So if you know where you're going and you have an exact address, that's a great start. The next thing is you need to know where you are. Like, what are your current income? What's your current expenses? What are your current assets and liabilities? Like, where are you? And then how do you get from where you are to where you want to go? So a GPS will tell you turn by turn directions. Now there's two options on a GPS. One is you can just look at the overall destination. You can see the map and say, okay, that's, I can kind of, you know, go DIY it a little, or you can click start and have it tell you exactly how to get there and how to turn. And if you make the wrong turn, it will reroute you and get you the right direction. And that's where, you know, a financial coach, somebody that will help you keep you accountable is great, because sometimes we make wrong turns and we need somebody to tell us how to reroute. And sure. that's what's so good about being intentional with your money, is that if you're intentional, you're going to be in a position where if you need to reroute, it's not going to take very long.
For sure. Well, and the truth is that I think this is where a lot of people don't like to talk about money, is because there's a lot of shame associated with it. I think there's a lot of negativity surrounded with it, but it is truly just a tool. And mm-hmm. I talk a lot about nervous system in a lot of the programs that I do, and a lot of the mindset piece. And a lot of people don't realize that you have a piece of your brain called a RAS, reticular activating system. And basically what it is it's scanning and it's looking. And we actually are programmed for our RAS to look for danger, to look for pitfalls, to look for negative type things. If mm-hmm. you want your RAS looking for money, if you want it to be looking for a lot of these intentional things, right? Looking for this path that you're trying to set yourself down on a financial success, you have to tell it what to look for. It is not going to just magically know, like, oh, Paris wants to do X. Like, it's not going to figure that out on its own, right? Like, you have to tell it, like, this is what we're looking for. This is where we're heading. This is what we want to do. And if, unless you're shifting that mindset, that intentionality, that purpose mm-hmm. in your head, it's not going to find what you're looking for, right? And yes, you might find some financial success, because to your point in our conversation before the show started, there's a lot of people who are great earners, right? And so you might be a great earner, so you might be able to earn a lot of money. But if you're not mm-hmm. doing anything with it, if you're not being intentional with it, if you don't have a clue of to your point, your GPS, where it's directing you, it's just going to end up all going any which way. To like your mm-hmm. point, somebody who has an intentional thought with where that money is going to end up.
Yeah. And even on back to the analogy of the GPS, you can be traveling along the road and you're going to have alternate routes, like 1 minute slower, 10 minutes slower. You know, you're going to have all these options.
For sure.
Well, they're distractions. They're totally distractions. To, like what you were saying earlier about the, all this, these distractions that come, the temptations, if you will, that will try to get you to spend your money. Oh, look at this shiny object over here. It's like that old joke about, you know, when the dog sees a squirrel, woo, you know, it's off to the, off to chase it. So how many times are we affected mentally and emotionally by shiny object syndrome, or that proverbial squirrel that comes across our desk? You know, one of the things too that I see a lot of people do is that they feel, because of the shame they have around money and the guilt they have around money, they make decisions from that point, from that place in their life. And when you make decisions from shame, guilt, or resentment, it's invariably going to be laced with some of the wrong things. And so, you know, if you know that you are behind the eight ball, like maybe you're in your 40s or 50s and you're like, shoot, I should be, you know, at $500,000 net worth by now. I should be this. And you have all this fear and shame about, man, I'm 40 or 50 and I don't even have, you know, 200, I don't even have a net positive net worth, let alone a net worth, you know what I mean?
For sure.
And so if you have all those situations, you're going to make way more risky decisions than you should. You're going to say, you know what, I need to catch up. I need to go, you know, buy the crypto, or I need to go buy the, you know, oh, this opportunity came across my desk to go invest in this crazy, you know, whatever. And you're going to make decisions that aren't sound. And that's something that I really want to help people do. Look, the best time to invest, clearly, the best time to invest was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. So whether you're quote unquote behind the eight ball or you're late to the game, don't do crazy stuff to try to catch up. Build a foundation, build a strong foundation of good habits, good behaviors, good beliefs around money that are empowering, that are going to bring you value in your life. And then once you have a strong foundation of, hey, I'm going to make it, then if you want to go do speculative things, with extra money that we've found, let's do it. But you're absolutely right. The biggest thing people need to realize is that, I think the biggest thing that people need to realize is that we're all clueless. Like we're all doing our best. Like just
that's correct.
Take a deep breath. And if somebody's richer than you, so to speak, in one area of their life, that doesn't mean they're richer than you in all areas of your life.
Sure.
So don't be comparing yourself to their strength to your weakness or their weakness to your strength. Like let's just move forward and try to elevate. All a rising tide rises all ships. And my belief is that money doesn't make you, it reveals you, and then it magnifies you.
All it does is amplify whatever you have going on. Like, truthfully. Yeah,
if you're a jerk, and you have a ton of money, you're going to just be a bigger jerk. And if you're a good, kind-hearted, God-fearing philanthropy, you know, person, you're going to want to. I want you to be moneyed up so that we can have more good in the world. That's
for sure.
That's some of the teachings that I share. And I'm like, look, we need to get more people that are good, that know how to manage their money more effectively, so they can build wealth and do good in the world, because money really does move things. Even though it's a tool, it's kind of made up. It's this thing that we've used to kind of barter and move back, you know, interchange and interact with one another for goods and services. Back in the day, they had gold and silver, which I really love, by the way, but they also just did a lot of bartering. So money is more of I think that's where you're going with. It's a made up thing. It's like this thing that we just created to help us make interchanging goods and services easier. So it's
exactly.
True. It really is a tool.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, HouseU provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. HouseU, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Well, I bring it up because I think it's so funny to me that something that didn't even exist, you know, however many years back, you know, back when we were, you know, in essence created, when we were cavemen, like that doesn't even a thing, that we are tying so much of our identity, our relationship, you know, pieces, right? Whether they break up or stay together, like stuff like this around something that technically is made up. And so my point is that this is, again, we're a mindset thing, because you have to step back and realize that this is really a made up thing. And yes, it serves a purpose and there's an intention behind why it exists. And you have to recognize that, but it is just a tool. And so there shouldn't, you have to strip out the guilt and the shame. I mean, I tease myself all the time on this show that behind me are about 400 purple cups, because apparently I have a purple cup obsession. And then I always hold up the purple cup that's always hanging out on my desk. Do I really need, you know, 800 purple cups? No. Do I know that I don't need that, right? Yes, of course. Like, again, so whereas you were not trained in money young, I actually was. My mom made me read Sound Mind Investing when I was in seventh grade. So I understood the concept of compounding interest and how all these pieces worked and how they fit together. Now, that didn't necessarily mean that I always understand everything about money or make the right decisions, which is exactly why I'm not afraid to sometimes throw myself under the bus for the realization that even with all the knowledge and even with all the good things, I don't always make the right choice. But to your point, if you have like where you're going and where you're headed and what that path looks like, if you do step off the path, then you can look for the redirect. Okay, I didn't make this right choice. So now I have to redirect what that looks like, right? And sometimes, like I said all the time, life just lives. I mean, there are some things that are completely outside of your control. But if you haven't set up your mindset and your intention, then whatever comes, you're going to take it on as guilt and shame, and you're going to let it destroy you monetarily. And it just does not have to.
You're right. And what's interesting is that as you share that, it reminds me of a story in 2008 during the economic downturn. For those that are old enough to remember that, I actually was building a very strong business. I had an agency that I was running, several agents that I was overseeing and training, and I was a senior marketing director for the firm I mentioned earlier. And I had a goal. If I was going to hit six figures that year, it was commission based. It was really going to be a good year. And then halfway through the year, I was definitely on track. And third quarter of 2008, as anybody who remembers, it just all went the wrong direction. I literally could write a country music song about everything that happened to me in 2008. Like, I lost my car, I lost my house, I lost my business, I lost everything. And there was a time, I think there's a season when you have a bad decision or when something hits you that's out of your control. I think there's a time that you need to kind of sit with that and own it and kind of be in it for a minute and recognize and validate it because it's real. However, your mindset will determine what you'll do next.
For sure.
And if you have a mindset of abundance and a mindset of strength, you're going to climb out of that and you're going to rebuild stronger. You're going to learn the lesson and you're going to rebuild stronger. If you have a weaker mindset, you're going to be a victim now. And you're going to be like, oh, well, the world is after me and there's nothing I can do. And I'm whatever's happens just is going to happen. And there's just nothing I can control. And in psychology, they call it the locus of control. There's an internal locus of control and an external locus of control. Those that have an external locus of control believe that they're a victim, that everything's happening to them, that the man, that their boss, that the corporation, that the environment, that the family they were born into, that the neighborhood they grew up in, it's all that, it's everybody else's fault. Like, the way I am today is because of everybody else did it to me. And
sure.
An internal locus of control realizes, wait, no, I have control. I can change this. There's so many amazing stories of people that have bootstrapped out of some of the most ridiculous ghetto, in just horrible neighborhoods, environments, families, abuse, just everything that have come up and created wonderful, amazing, inspiring lives that inspire so many of us. And so that's all genuinely, that's all a mindset. And like you said earlier, actually, Jack, something that was really powerful was that when your mind is problem oriented, you're going to find problems and you're going to attract problems to you. You're going to attract that victimhood to you. You're going to have resentments, you're going to have fears, and that's going to run and rule your life. But if you are a solution oriented person, you have a solutions mindset. That's basically the locus of control. It's just a different way of saying it. When you're solution oriented, you're going to find solutions. Problems are still going to come.
Sure.
Going to still have issues, but when they hit you, you're going to think of, okay, here's the problem. You identify the problem. You get clear on what the problem is. You don't dwell in it, but you get clear on it. And once you know exactly what it is, your mind, your brain, God, whatever universe, whatever you want to say, will guide you and direct you to the solution. And all of a sudden you'll be like, wait a minute. I lost everything in 2011 or 12. I didn't have to file bankruptcy, thankfully, but I completely paid off all my debts. And I haven't been in consumer debt for almost 15 years. I have no consumer debt and I haven't had any for almost 15 years.
Awesome.
And so that's power, but I love credit cards. So I pay them off every month. Like that's the difference. So my mindset back in those days was way different, but I learned the lesson, and my mindset coming out of it is now I've built a very strong situation where I've built a strong six-figure passive income. Everybody wants passive income. By the way, I highly recommend passive income. Everybody
For sure.
should do up, get something. If it's a side hustle, get something that's passive, and then build your net worth, get a positive net worth. I know you're a mortgage person, but I highly recommend people separate their personal residence in their net worth, keep track of it, but also keep track of your liquid net worth outside of your home, your current present residence. Now, if you have a real estate that's like investment properties and stuff like that, you can add that into your that other side of your net worth. But 90% of Americans have a positive net worth, including their home. If you take out their personal residence, it drops to 30% of Americans have a positive net worth.
That actually doesn't surprise me based on what we see all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We're unusual when it comes to the mortgage side, because we're not going to just tell you to buy a house, right? I obviously personally believe that it is one of the larger wealth differentiators. However, mm-hmm. I firmly believe that there's multiple ways you can build wealth, including, like you said, creating passive income streams, making sure that you have other assets that are not just your home. Like, there's lots of different ways that this can be done. And if I feel like you're going to be putting yourself into too much of a box by purchasing a house, because that's actually where I'm seeing across the board, I'm in all these moms groups and things like that. And I see all these people talking about whether they need to sell their home or not, you know, because they have mm-hmm. a lot of equity there. But they're mm-hmm. now struggling heavily because of exactly what you said. So all yeah. their net worth is trapped inside that house. And so because they don't have any liquid or any things that are going to try to help them when the payments are rising, because taxes and insurance obviously changes, if you have HOA costs on your house, that is mm-hmm. incrementally usually going to rise on an annual basis. And so your expenses are going to increase, right?
Yes.
I mean,
and usually beyond what your cost of living at work raises are.
Correct. Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. So, I mean, you are going to limit some of your exposure to that increase by owning a home, because at least the principal and interest piece, if it's mm-hmm. a fixed rate, is not changing. However, there are some other aspects, and to your point, you are usually not getting as much of a raise, right? And like if you were doing a regular W-2 job, for cost of living increases than what is actually you're getting hit with. So if you have yeah. no plan on this front, then you are going to get yourself into a little bit of a bind and a little bit of a box, right? Mm-hmm. And so it definitely creates a challenge, which is why I encourage people to think outside of the box, right? I mean,
right.
My own girls are looking to possibly buy a house together. Because
nice.
Yes, they technically could buy one individually, but it would be very difficult to sustain that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe that's not necessarily your favorite, right? Having to live with somebody else in your family or a roommate or whatever that looks like. However, it's allowing them to sort of build some wealth for themselves, right? Through the avenue of owning a home, but still not having all the exposure on a single individual. which is creating different things. Now, that's of course because they sat with, they jokingly call it life lessons with Jacqueline, for I don't even know how long, about intentionality. I was like, look, girls, I don't care where you get in life. I don't care what kind of job you do in life, whatever floats your boat, whatever drives you, right? Whatever passions you hold. However, you need to get there intentionally. Don't just accidentally trip over yourself and fall into things because it's not going to yield you what you're really looking for in life.
Absolutely. And intentionality is so powerful in so many ways. And I just love what you said. House hacking is a huge thing. And statistically speaking, there's a great book, and I shared this with you earlier. There's a great book called The Millionaire Next Door. And then it was a follow-up book to that called The Next Millionaire Next Door. And it was a 20-year research project on millionaires. What are their habits? What do they do? Like, how do millionaires really act and believe? What do they really buy? And are they flashy and rich? And are they super, you know, keeping up with the Joneses? No. In fact, they found that the majority of millionaires and real wealthy people, wealth is quiet. Wealth is calm. Wealth is rich people who are telling you how rich they are is because they're not as rich as they're telling you they are.
When you're done telling that, I have a funny story I have to tell you about.
I was just going to finish up with in that book, it does very clearly state that the one of the differentiators or one of the big statistics is that they are homeowners and they own their home because it's a huge thing. It's part of the American dream. We all want to own a home. And with the way things are going in the marketplace right now, it's almost like, is that even going to be possible? And it is. If you're intentional with your money, you can absolutely build yourself into a place where you have the right habits, the right behaviors, the right beliefs around money so that you can get all the things that you want. And you just have to be, for example, I was telling Jax earlier, I bought my house, and the house that I bought, I qualified for about a double the mortgage that I'm paying.
For sure.
And if you're not intentional with your money, you're going to just take whatever the mortgage guy tells you. Hey, you can qualify for $1 billion house. Okay, let's go. Well, now you're strapped to that payment. You're a slave to that payment for the next 30 years. I'm like, I don't want to be a slave to that payment. I want to be a slave to this payment. If I'm going to be a slave, I want to be a slave to the payment I want to pay. And so we found a house in the range of what I wanted to pay. And that was still a huge upgrade from our previous house. It's still beautiful. I love the home that I'm in. It's humble. It's not extravagant. And I don't feel strapped. And my stress is way less because I bought a house well within my means. And so that's a key indicator of wealth and creating wealth is buying things properly.
For sure. Well, I was going to say on that piece, we actually tell most of our clients not to go to the highest unless there's a couple exceptions for us. So number one, if there's only maybe we're only using one of the people that are actually buying the house, right? Maybe because of credit reasons or income reasons, we're only using one of them. So there actually is other income, then we might encourage them to go to kind of the top of their limit because there is other income flowing into the home. Or there is a lot of income that we can't count, then I might say, okay, what you qualify for, but very rarely do we actually encourage people to go to their max. It's usually a recipe for disaster and not setting 100% them up for success. So as mortgage people, we think that that's not really a great idea. Not to say that you're not able to make whatever decision you want to make. We're just going to advise you that, hey, you need to really look at the big picture and make sure that you really are comfortable, that you really have a good base behind you to be able to support that. Because if you don't, it is going to do exactly what you said. It's going to handcuff you and make you feel just overwhelmed, just miserable all the time. And it's not a good place for you to be at all. But I was going to tell you, so... There's two things I could say about people who are very wealthy. So I have a relative. I will, of course, leave him remain nameless. But this particular relative is incredibly wealthy. He actually, in the course of his life, created somewhere between 12 and 14 different businesses, has multi-millions of dollars. This is a man who wears Walmart jeans, T-shirts, and drives a Toyota Camry. So if you met him anywhere, I guarantee you would have zero clue that he had this kind of wealth. Because it's just not really him. And he's just very frugal and like with how he's very intentional with his money. Not to say that he doesn't own a really big, very expensive house because it was very important to him. He was in the Navy and wanted to live on the point of a lake. And so he owns a very big, very nice house because that was something that was important to him, right? And he clearly has the money to be able to afford it. And so... you know, he's being very intentional with his money.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
But my very favorite story about wealth, I told this the other day to somebody. So I went to regular public school all the way up until my sophomore year in high school. My sophomore year, senior year, I went to a very wealthy private school in the Dallas area where literally I was probably the poor kid and my dad made like multiple six figures and like we were like the poor family at the school.
Wow.
Okay. So these are people that had significant wealth. They, a lot of times it was generational wealth. So it was coming from grandma, great grandma, like all the way down, right? Like lots and lots of wealth. And we were at an event. I can't remember. I think it was like a homecoming or something like that. And we're in one of these people's house. And my mom is interior design. So I tend to recognize home decor or things like this because of my upbringing. And at the very end of a nondescript hallway, there was like a curio cabinet, like, you know, like a little cabinet. And it had these really beautiful things in it. And I couldn't quite figure out what they were. They kind of look like bracelets, but I was like, I don't know if that's a bracelet. Like, I'm not really sure what that is. And so I asked the mom, I said, hey, there's a cabinet at the end of the hallway. It has these very beautiful things in it. What are they? And she said super casually, like it was the most normal thing on the planet. She said, oh, those are baby crowns. I said, excuse me? She said, baby crowns. I said, like royalty, like crowns? She said, yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like that was the most normal thing to collect on the planet. So real wealth, like they just, it's a very different attitude, right? Because she wasn't having them displayed in the front hallway of her house. Like you walked in and like, here are the baby crowns, right? This is just something that was something their family enjoyed. They liked, they had it at the end of the hallway. You know what I mean? If That's that awesome. Is the way that you can handle certain things, then you know that you have true wealth. But whenever I think about how people with wealth think differently, I think of that story because again, my reaction was like, excuse me, what?
Yeah. Like you have royalty crowns, a collection, not just one, but a collection. That's crazy. That's
there
so
was
cool.
probably 10 or 12 of them, like not just one or two. There was a lot of these baby crowns.
That is wild. Yeah. There's so much misconception around wealth. Most people think that you got to be a jerk. You got to walked on somebody, stepped on somebody. Yeah, there's those out there, 100%. And there's, you know, everybody looks on Instagram, social media. They think, oh, well, wealth is having these, you know, Bugattis and all this other stuff. And that, sure, there's those are people that are out there that have that. And that's fine. But really, the vast majority of millionaires are one, they're self-made. So that usually means that they did it in their own generation. So a lot of people well, no, they must have got it from their mom and dad and the others, which, you know, there are people out there because you went to school with a lot of them. Most millionaires, 90% of millionaires are actually self-made first generation millionaires right now. And so that means that it's possible. That's possible for you. So going back to the mindset, like once you know some of the rules around money, you're like, wait a minute, you mean I could actually do this? Because there's two ways to look at it. You can say, well, if they're doing it, it's a zero. If you have a zero sum attitude, it's like, well, if they're doing it, I can't because they're taking it all. Well, that's one way to look at it. Or you can say, well, they're doing it. And if they're doing it, so can I. And that's my mentality is I want to be so simple and so transparent with people that they're like, wow, if that Paris guy can do this, boy, can I really do it? You know, I want to be so simple and like that people just look at me and they're like, wow, if he can do it, I can definitely do it. And that's, to me, that's the real mindset is like, you have to realize that. And another thing I want to help define, redefine in the world today is the word frugal. Frugal does not mean cheap. It doesn't mean a miser. It just means you buy from value. And one of the things that I do and that I teach people is like, look, if you really want to buy something, because we're so prone to that impulse buy, right? We see the deal on the shelf. Literally, they're professionals put on the shelf in the grocery store, the department store. They put stuff right when you walk in, all the stuff that's the stuff they want you to see and buy, it's all right there in front. It's all positioned. Nothing in a, when you walk into a department store or a grocery store, nothing is put there by accident. It's all put there intentionally, by the way, to get you to buy stuff that you don't need to impress people that you don't care about. Anyways, you know the saying. But frugality to me is I want to buy with intention. So I tell people, look, if you want to buy something as if it's an impulse right now, you haven't been thinking about it, you haven't been saving up for it. If it's an impulse right now, take a deep breath. Step back, write it on a wish list. I think wish lists should be, we should have a pocket or an iPhone, have our own wish list of things. Put it on a wish list. give it a couple of days to cool off, you know, and then if you still want it, or maybe, and I would say save up for it.
For sure.
You know, put money aside every month until you have the money to pay for it. And then really find out, you'll know for sure if you really need it, or if you really something that you want, or if it was just something that was a shiny object that day. My philosophy is I want to stop people spending tomorrow's money today and start spending yesterday's money today.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is don't put yourself in a situation where you're in debt and now you're hoping that your tomorrow's paychecks are going to continue to come in and they're going to pay for the stuff you bought today. What I would say is move towards putting money in savings, save for things, have sinking funds, they're called sinking funds, save for Christmas, save for birthdays, save for car repairs, save for, you know, home repairs. I have a fund for all of those things and more that as soon as I get paid, I put it in my fund. Once I have the fund full enough that I can go buy something with it on my list, I go buy it. I usually pay for it on a credit card to get cash back or points. And then I pay the credit card off. Do not try this at home. I'm a highly trained professional.
I was going to say, unless your mindset is in the right place and you're
unless you're willing to pay it off every month.
In a good place. Absolutely.
And if Americans would do that, and there's a big push right now, I don't know politically what anybody thinks, but whatever you think politically, I do believe that we should build a stronger America. We should make America great again. All those things, if we can disassociate the people, the political parties from those messages, I think those messages are still good. And in order to make America great, we need to have Americans that are great. And to be great is we need to be less stressed out. We need to be less fighting with one another about all these things. When you live within your means and you have savings, life is totally different. And it's worth it. It's worth it.
And before we wrap up, I do want to make one last thing that I think for me personally made a huge shift. A lot of times mindset is going to come from who you are spending time with, right? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because for me, understanding that wealth was something that was super obtainable, that was something that absolutely could be a part of my DNA and a part of my future, was being around people that had it, being around and shaping and talking to them and seeing what their philosophies were and how they related to it and things like this. Because then you start realizing, but if you always are going to place yourself around the same people, the same kind of crappy mindset that has always been, like you said, you know, victim mentality, oh, I can't achieve this, oh, I can't do this, or whatever, you know, well, the world is against me and things like that or whatever, right? Then it's never going to shift. It's never going to change. It's never going to get better because it's just going to be the same crap in, crap out situation and it's never going to transform. If you want true transformation, you have to get not only lightning clear about what it is you want and being intentional, right? But if you're going to shift that mindset, you really do need to consider the people that you are putting yourself around with. If you've ever read the book Atomic Habits, it's one of the things that he talks about is all the habits. And one of the things is you know, being around the same kind of people, right? The people that are having the same kind of viewpoint, the same kind of thoughts that you have. And it's probably the most important thing to do is that. And so if you hear nothing else, it's that you need to be placing yourself around those people, right? Whether you hire them, like you're hiring Paris to help you figure out like where your money's at or whatever, the people you see in your friend circle, right? The kind of books that you're reading, the kind of podcasts you're listening to, whatever that looks like, right? Because all of this is going to go in to that process and things will never get better until you shift that, period.
Yep. Yeah. And to add to that, it's not just the people you hang out with, but also the books you read and the events you attend. And events could be podcasts like this. I think that the more you put good things in your mind, the better you'll get. And it's, you know, the Stoics, I follow Stoicism a little bit, and they say that, you know, life is going to be a struggle. There's going to be struggles. Like if Mother Nature's not going to kill you, your neighbor might, right? So we're always in this struggle of survival, you know? However, the Stoics also believe that God has given us all of the resources necessary to be able to conquer it and to be able to survive and thrive in through it. And if you believe that there's resources, if you believe that you have the ability to come up out of it, whatever knocks you down, if you believe you can get back up again, even if it's with a mentor or a coach or yourself, that's where your mindset's going to change and shift. And I totally agree, Jax. That was excellent. You're right.
Yeah. And I don't remember who said the quote. It might be Henry Ford, but, or I got to think about it, but it's whether you believe you can do it or not, you're right. Have you heard that quote?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And it's
Napoleon.
Truth.
Yeah, in similar quote to that was Napoleon Hill, who said, "Whatever the mind of man can conceive and can believe and conceive, it can achieve." And so it's, you're right, absolutely. Whether you think you can or can't, you're right. I love that.
Well, this has been an amazing podcast, and thank you, Paris, so much for coming on. We'll definitely have to have you on again. And I do think that you have a free offer to offer the listener. So kind of tell them a little bit about what that is and where to find it, and we'll make sure obviously to include it in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. And thank you for letting me do that, because I'm on all the socials. I do have a YouTube channel. You can just look me up at Paris Clough. My website is parisclough.com. And if you type in parisclough.com/free book, you'll get my free book. And this is an ebook. It's an actionable book. It's a strategy that I used that I learned almost 20 years ago now. When I first got started in the business as a financial advisor, I was a financial advisor for 15 years, and now I've turned to financial coaching and education. But when I would call on people and say, "Hey, you need to let me help you change your money. Let me help you, invest in your future. Let me help you get your retirement squared away." And invariably, I would get the common objection was, "I just don't have any money. I'm too far in debt. My expenses are too high, inflation, whatever was going on. I just don't have money in my budget right now for any of that." And I thought to myself, if I'm going to do this, I got to figure out how to help people find money. I got to help people find money in ways that they probably never even thought about. And I'm not talking about rice and beans, people. I'm talking about like legitimate ways that we have holes in our bank account that are just sifting through, that if we can repair those holes, we can start filling up our bank accounts with the right things. And so I created the system. It's a 3 or 4 step system. And it goes through, my ebook goes through exactly how to help you find money. On average, most people find around $300 a month.
Awesome.
And I don't know if this statistic is any more true, but years ago when I first found the strategy, $300 a month would help almost most bankruptcies actually would be avoided if the people could just find another $300 a month. And I've had people find $700 or $800 a month through this process. So it's a real thing. There is an upgrade option there for a video. For those of you who want to learn maybe audio or visually, I do have a video. It's got workbooks. It's got a little more, it's got more information than the ebook does, but the ebook is actionable. If you take action, if you read it, if you do the things that are in there, you will probably save several hundred dollars a month in your budget and not eating beans and rice.
That's awesome. I love that. That is so powerful. And thank you so much again for being our guest. It has been fabulous. Hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified helped you. And please definitely reach out to myself, Paris, get those free resources, get things that can help you level up. Literally, you can live your life within your, on your terms. If you are just being intentional, shifting your mindset, and just like I said, furthering those goals and those thoughts. So again, thank you so much, Paris, for being a part of the show. And we'll see you again next week, guys.
Thank you.